Grab your popcorn and goobers. It's time for Motherhood in Hollywood with your host, Heather Brooker. This is a crude prude's perspective on being a full-time mom in showbiz. She's not a perfect mom, but she can play one on TV. Hold on to your butts. Here's Heather.
Hey, everybody. It's Heather Brooker. This is episode 10 of Motherhood in Hollywood. Thanks so much for joining me. My guest today is Justice Leake. Justice League. Although with the kinds of TV shows he's been appearing on and filming lately, he might as well be in the Justice League because he's really blowing up in the sci-fi and sort of comic book world. So you'll get to hear him talk about that a little bit and also how he got his start in the biz. Meantime, as for me, hey, how's it going? I'm good. I want to take a minute to stop being weird and thank everybody for following me on Twitter at MIH Podcast. And also, you guys, Facebook page is blowing up over there. I want to give a quick shout out to Lexi Marmon Cowden. Hey, how's it going? Juan Espinosa, Sandra Cruz, JJ Martinez, Mary Lopez, just a few of the people who have joined us recently over on the Motherhood in Hollywood Facebook page. That's where you can find posts from my blog that I'll post on there sometimes. Also, just fun things I find around the internet, inappropriate comments, you know, the huge, pretty much what Motherhood in Hollywood is all about. It's been a good week for me lately. I've been having some great auditions. Some of them I can't really talk about. They're that exciting. And Channing is doing great. She's, man, you guys, she is nailing the pee-pee in the potty. If there was like an award for the pee-pee in the potty, she would totally win it, but she would not win the poo-poo in the potty award. So that's something we're working on still. The struggle is real, folks. It is real gross and it is really happening in our house. So if, I'm curious to know if any moms out there who are listening or anybody, has any tips on how we can maybe encourage the poo-poo to find its way into the potty. I would love to hear from you. If you want to email me at motherhoodinhollywood@gmail.com or tweet me or drop something on the Facebook page, would love to hear what you guys suggest as far as encouraging her to poo-poo more, because bribes and crying are not working. I'm just crying while I pick up poop off the floor. Good times, guys. Potty training is good times. Find me over on the Facebook or the Twitter. And you know what? Actually, I've been having a lot of fun with the social media lately, especially thanks to my friend Brian over at Pineapple Advertising. Brian is a marketing genius, an advertising genius, and he's really been giving me some great advice and some great tips on marketing this show, because quite honestly, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know if I should admit that or not, but I'm having a good time trying to find out, and I hope you guys are enjoying the adventure right along with me. But Brian has been really instrumental in helping me figure out some of the social media things. Like, I'm on Periscope now. Are you on the Periscope? Go and find me, Motherhood in Hollywood, on Periscope. I'm going to be doing live broadcasts with our guest. Also, just fun things that are happening in my world throughout the day, whether it's being on the studio lots or interviewing my daughter when she poops on the floor. No. But definitely go and check us out on Periscope. And so if you have any needs for your business or for marketing or social media, give Brian a call at Pineapple Advertising. That's pineappleadvertising.com, and he could totally hook you up and help you out. Again, pineappleadvertising.com. Ask for Brian. Tell him Heather from Motherhood in Hollywood sent you. I'd appreciate it. Now, I want to get right to the show because it's a good one, guys. Again, my name is Just... My name. Hello. My guest is Justice Leake. And I should warn you before we go into the show, we popped a bottle of wine before we began to record this one. So you can also hear me in the middle of the show, like, pouring wine way too close to the microphone. So if you're like, is someone peeing? No, it's just me filling her up. So things get a little loosey-goosey. I was kind of trying to maybe see if Justice would spill the beans on some of the shows he's worked on. He has some really cool stories to tell about The Flash, behind the scenes on The Flash, The Walking Dead, Vampire Diaries, and the upcoming CBS show Supergirl. He didn't reveal too much, so nobody freak out, but he did have some pretty cool stuff to say about who he's playing on that show. So this is a really good one, you guys. A really good episode. I'm so glad you're here. So now I'm going to shut it and let you hear from Justice. So I think, Justice, before we get into all of my questions that I have for you, we should talk about, first of all, how handsome you are.
Oh my gosh. Can we spend the whole hour talking about that, please?
Just talking about how gorgeous you are. You guys, if you have not Googled Justice, I suggest you do that immediately.
I was somebody's man crush Monday today.
Were that you
was,
really?
Yeah.
It's oh, like, my God.
Very exciting.
That's when you know you've made it in Hollywood.
It's a 68-year-old man who made... I'm just guessing. I have
it's
no
better
idea.
Better than no one, though.
It
really.
Is. It is. Thank you, sir.
I've never been anyone's man crush. So. Something to aspire to.
It's early.
Yeah, it's still early. My dreams are not over yet. So let's talk for a second about how we know each other. Because here in Los Angeles, you cannot take a dump in a public toilet without running into another actor.
Oh.
And that's where Justice and I met. No.
Happens all the time.
No, I mean, you can't go anywhere really without running into fellow actors. And what's great about LA and this particularly Universal Studios is they have a theme park there and they have a studio tour. And Justice and I were both tour guides at the Universal Studios tour.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of really great actors and fellow industryites or whatever that work there. So that's how we met. And right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. For a second. Yeah, no. You had a concerned look on your face. I thought, oh shit, did I meet you somewhere else?
Well, it was like, do we mention the Craigslist thing? We didn't.
Oh, no. Sure.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Okay. Universal Studios. I met a lot of really great friends as well as industry people. It attracts a certain type of individual. You know, personable, tends to be personable, outgoing,
right?
And has a love or passion for TV or film,
right?
Whether or making it or just a fan of the medium, you know. So you know, we have some lifers in there who just really love being around movies
and the movie studio. Because the tour itself, for those of you who haven't actually been to Universal Studios or don't know anything about the tour. You get on like a tram thing and it holds like 200 people, or you can do like a VIP tour that holds, now I think it's like 50. It used to be 16, but they've increased it. And it takes you around the movie studio at Universal and you get to see where movies are made and TV shows and stuff like that. So it's a pretty cool thing, but they like you to be sort of outgoing and easy, or good with improv. And so it does really draw in actors. So there's a lot of actors, plus they're really great, like, with, I'm not trying to pimp Universal, don't go get a job at Universal just because we're talking about, just because Justice and I are amazing and we started
and super successful.
Super successful.
Everyone. No, but it does, and they are very supportive of actors. And as Heather downs some wine, can we tell them that we're drinking?
We're totally drinking wine right now, by the way.
It is.
By the end of the podcast, I fully expect us to be revealing real personal shit.
Yeah, it may start early. I mean, you already talked about your poops.
That's true.
So,
my love of public bathrooms.
Your love of public bathrooms. No, but it does, you know, they'll let you off for auditions, although you have to do this thing called whipping, which sounds way hotter than it really is.
Right, but it's actually horrible.
It's awful. You got to do a bunch of tours in a row and lose your mind in the process. But that being said, you can book a show, be gone for several months and still come back and have your job. So there's not a lot of jobs like that in LA.
Definitely not. No, that's why a lot of actors out here end up working night jobs or weekend jobs.
Mm-hmm. Bartending, I did that.
Bartending, yeah. But one of the reasons I bring up Universal is because you, several years ago, took a really huge leap of faith by leaving Universal. Tell me about that and tell me your decision and to what led up to that.
Yeah, it really was a turning point for me. And I mean, I was hoping that it would be that at the time. But So when I came to LA, I got to back up just a little bit. So when I came to LA in the fall of 2007, on the heels of this movie called The Great Debaters, directed by Denzel Washington. So I had done that in Atlanta. I had worked a little bit in the Atlanta market. I got into acting really, really late. But so that film was supposed to get some award season buzz, and I was encouraged by the mom of one of the actors on the set that I should be in LA before it gets out.
Whose mom?
Journey Smollett.
Oh, nobody knows who that is. Go
Journey
ahead.
Smollett. Yeah. Her brother now is Josie. He's on Empire. He's the.
Oh. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, she's also in the new Underground. She works a lot. You'd recognize her.
Okay.
Anyway. So it was her mom who was like, "Get out there. Might help you get an agent." Sure enough, I got an agent within the first month of being here. And then the writer strike happens.
That actually, I think, hurt a lot of people who were just getting started at that time.
Completely changed the industry. My agents would proceed to tell me for the next 6 years that they represented me that, you know, the industry changed. And, you know, had you been here 5 years before, 10 years before, you would have started working and never stopped. But
were you SAG at the time? Were you union?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was union at the time. So, but after the writer's strike ended, and it's so funny, I did the premiere for Great Debaters. I just talked about this because I had a publicist meeting this morning. My first ever red carpet. Oh, this is here we go with the tangent. It's already starting. But it's great, and I think it's helpful to hear stories like this, because all most people ever see is what winds up on television.
Sure.
And so there were a handful of us, four or five actors who had small supporting roles in that movie, The Great Debaters. And we all decided to pitch in on a limo. I mean, it was so hard to even get tickets to this thing, but we did. My mom was my date, you know. Me and another actor by the name of Glenn Powell, who's about to blow up this year. He's on the new Scream Queen. So anyway, his career is kind of out of control. So he nominated me to be the first one like out of the limo. And so I was like, okay, cool. I didn't have much expectations of this, even though like Oprah's like producing it. I knew it was kind of going to be a big deal, but whatever.
It was a big movie.
Yeah, but seven people saw it. It's fine. So anyway, the door opens by someone on the red carpet, and then flash bulbs go crazy. Wow. I mean, I can't even see. It was like jumping into like a cold swimming pool. I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. And they settled down once they saw that I wasn't Oprah Winfrey. Aww. And you could see everyone like go to their cameras and like delete, 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 delete. And so I know. But I get it. You know, gigabytes were more than they used to be. Than they are now. So anyway, that was my first experience. It was so cool to be a part of. But I, at the end of this, you know, very glamorous event where I got to meet Clive Davis.
Davis.
Yeah. Clive Davis. Oh. The
too
musician.
Bad it wasn't Clive Owen.
That would have been cool. Yeah. But like Samuel L. Jackson.
Did
like
you meet Oprah?
I did not. Oh, I met Gail.
That's pretty close. That's like Oprah Light.
Yeah.
that's pretty damn close.
Yeah, it's pretty close. Pretty close. We did stand next to each other on the red carpet. Yeah.
You and Oprah? Or you and
Gail? Well, yeah. She was like, right there. Yeah, it was a little bizarre. My mom looked like she was about to pass out.
I would pass out.
Are you doing okay? And she was like, I can't breathe. I was like, it's fine. It's going to be fine. So anyway, I just moved out here. I was couch surfing. I knew almost no one. Mm-hmm. And so I, you know, leave this very glamorous event to go stay on someone's air mattress in their living room. Like that's great.
It's great. But also like that is such a heartbreaking story. Cause it's like, as actors, you can be in a huge successful movie with produced by Oprah effing Winfrey and go and have to sleep on someone's air mattress at night. And I don't think a lot of people know that.
Like
the working actors, the everyday, you know, out there hustling working actors are not making millions of dollars. We don't have houses in Malibu and, you know, mansions in the hills and all of that. So it's...
I mean, I have two, but...
Oh, you have
some
two.
People don't.
Excuse me. No.
Some people are poor. But so anyway, that was kind of my first experience. During the writer's strike, it was kind of fine. I was like, I was so optimistic. Mm-hmm. You know, it's going to give me a chance to learn the streets of Los Angeles, you know?
Right, right.
And so when that finally ended in April-ish of the next spring, I was finally able to have auditions, and I booked like 3 guest stars in a row, like boom, 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 like within a month. And my agents were like, don't get used to this. This doesn't usually happen.
It's not normal, yeah.
Right.
And it's very unusual, but you still can't help but feel like I'm a star. Look at me.
Yeah. I mean, they were telling me that like it's not normal. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I get it. I get
it.
Maybe
it's not normal for your other clients.
Right. Right.
And then you start deleting people from your phone already. Don't need this person anymore.
Don't need that.
But it is very unusual to book that many shows.
Right. But at that point I had been working for about 6 years. So it wasn't like it was coming out of nowhere.
Right.
It wasn't overnight.
So when did you start at Universal? Was it around that time?
So what happened was after I booked those 3, I then tested for Fox for a show called Lie to Me.
Okay. I think I remember that.
Yeah, with Tim Roth.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Chris really liked the show.
Never watched it.
Were you mad because you didn't get it?
I was a little heartbroken.
Oh, my God.
Well, because it happened right on the heels of all this other stuff. And, you know, I'm signing contracts and seeing how much you're going to get paid and your life changing, right?
Because in the testing process and when you go to, like, do your screen test and your pilot, your final, like, network audition, they make you essentially sign a 5-year contract. In some cases, 6. It's less. So this was a 6-year deal. Yeah. Beforehand to make sure they own your soul before they commit to you.
Right.
And they do that with everybody.
Everybody that walks in the door. Yeah. So which at that point it's usually down to 3 or 4
right.
Mm-hmm. For the first studio test. But, you know, it went really well. I killed it. Everyone's like nodding their mm-hmm. heads and I'm getting like, mm-hmm, yep. I got some laughs. And then I go to my agent's office afterwards and we're kind of talking about it and he gets the call and I was like, yeah, it's good, because the next day was network test for even more people, which is the last kind of little hurdle. And he was like, oh, okay, yep. Oh. And I was like, oh,
and you're
shit.
Sitting there,
I'm sitting in his office,
oh god,
and knowing that it's not gonna happen. And the feedback was that they wanted someone more vanilla.
More vanilla?
That was a note from some person from the studio in the room who was afraid that I might be distracting next to Tim Roth. I was a supporting character.
Because you are so handsome?
Because I'm so handsome.
I know.
Which brings this podcast
full circle. I'm looking right at you. I get it.
And it's over. So I was heartbroken. I ended up taking a... what I thought was going to be a part-time job at a hotel. So I was working at this little hotel, what I thought was going to just get me by until, you know, auditions picked up in the fall, and they just never did. So fast forward 2 more years, 2010.
Oh, wow.
I auditioned for the Universal Tour Guides. Fast forward.
Long story short. Who interviewed you? Was it Mike?
My very first interview was Ben. My
32nd
interview.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's tough.
Yeah.
That's he's a toughie. Ben Salisbury, who used to be on The Nanny,
mm-hmm.
Was also the head of the studio tour for a few years. And he's a tough cookie.
Well, I guess
you were like...
They were desperate. I don't know what to tell you. So to go back and I think answer your question, which was mm-hmm. how did I get out of this? It was the fall of 2013. I had been cast in the industry showcase, what would have been my fourth time,
right?
Which they have for the tour guides.
Mm-hmm. They do a big showcase to bring in casting directors and agents and kind of just for the tour guides, be able to show off their acting skills and like, you know, in the hopes of having their tour guides get discovered.
Anthony Mendel, who's
an acting teacher.
Mm-hmm. This was his second or third time directing. I can't remember. We're waiting for my partner to get there to rehearse. And he just kind of offhandedly said, he was like, so what are you still doing here? And I was like, what? We're waiting for, you know, Anthony to show up. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
I forget who my partner was.
What a
dumb
question.
Yeah. Jeez. No, he was like, what are you still doing at Universal? He was like, I'd hate to see you. He was like, there's no reason why you shouldn't be in television.
Mm-hmm.
I just hate to see you be comfortable. And what's interesting is 2 weeks after that, I have an audition for an independent horror film, which you and I both know. There are a lot of those. So I show up, and it is for the role of Redneck. Unnamed character, Redneck.
Right.
He's in one scene, has two lines.
Oh, God.
And then I look and see who wrote it, which is one of my agents. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
No. Your like, own where, agent was making you audition for a two-line part on a tiny horror movie?
Yeah. So I go in, I do my thing, whatever. Mm. Find out that I have a callback, and it's the callbacks on Thursday. And I show up, go into the lobby, only to find out that I'm a week early for my callback.
Oh, and I was like, no.
Oh, great. Like, oh, no. Just, I don't even want this part. I don't even want to be in this movie.
Yeah.
And I did all this stuff, had people, you know, coming in for early for me at the hotel and getting off and doing all, and I'm a week early.
Yeah.
Well, it's kismet. Because standing in the lobby is a very good friend of mine who had just signed with a manager. I didn't realize this, from that management firm.
Uh-huh.
And they were standing in the lobby. And we all kind of laughed at the fact that, oh, here I am a week early, right? Uh-huh. And I walked out with my buddy, and I was like, hey, so you really like this guy? And he's like, he's great. Yeah. Why don't you come tonight? I'm a bartender. You know, he's like, to the bar. I'll make sure that he'll be there, and maybe you guys can hit it off, and maybe he'll sign you or something. You know, that's kind of the idea. And I was like, yes, I need somebody, right?
Yeah.
So sure enough, I meet him out. I'm at this bar, I'm having conversation, and he says, hey, so you're an actor, right? I was like, yeah. He's like, are you going in for David Rappaport next week for The Flash? And I was like, I was like, let me just stop you right there. I think he phrased it, are you going out for that new, you know, the new lead in the series for, you know, that they're spinning off of Arrow? And I was like, I'm sorry, did you not know what I was coming into audition for? It was the Redneck role for the independent film.
God.
I was like, I'm not going in for a new series regular show. And he was like, well, he's like, I think you're more right than my client who's actually going in. And I happen to know the casting director. I was like, oh, really? And he was like, you should ask your agency. I was like, oh, I'll ask, but we'll see. He was like, it is a lot of dialogue, so just be aware. And I was like, well, if you don't mind, could you send it to me this weekend? Maybe I'll get a head start on it, because he was like, it's like 10 pages. So not only does he send me the script, but he puts in a good word for David Rappaport. And sure enough, guess who I have a meeting with on Tuesday?
Wow.
Yeah, for this. And I was like, oh, my God.
Isn't it interesting how when you get a team behind you that believes in you and knows your worth better than you do, almost it makes a world of difference.
So much.
Because it's like all of a sudden then they see your value in the industry, and they support you, and they submit you for parts that are not only just right for you, but parts that you want to play. Do you want some more wine, by the way?
Of course I do. It's delicious.
Best podcast ever.
What I will say in their defense is that, you know, they had repped me for 6 years, and during a transitional point in the entertainment industry, right, where things were all a mess after the writer's strike. And there's some degree of fatigue that I'm sure happens when you pitch somebody day in and day out and they're not getting anywhere.
It's like night and day sometimes between agents and managers out here. That's why having a good agent, a good manager is super important. And everybody wants to get, like, everybody thinks they need to be with William Morris or, you know, CAA or whatever, but don't.
Which is not true, right?
No.
I had a buddy who was with them as soon as he came out here.
Oh, wow.
And
did he get lost in the shuffle?
He absolutely got lost.
Yeah.
And part of it might have been that they were shelving him, which is sometimes what they do.
I've heard about that.
Yeah.
Well, I can't believe that something like that would happen. That's where top agencies will sign somebody who is similar to someone they have on their roster already, or could be in competition with someone on their roster, and then just don't submit them for big parts because they don't want that person competing.
They do a similar thing with scripts as well.
Yeah. I can't imagine that happens, but obviously that term came from somewhere.
It didn't come out of nowhere.
Right. That's... So I imagine maybe it happens at some level.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's what Melissa McCarthy's agent would do with me. They would bring me on over there at whoever she's with, William Morris, I don't know. So you, after Tony, Anthony Mendel said this to you.
Right. So I had the Flash audition.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And, went really well. And he said, David said right then, he was like, you're not the guy, but you're really great.
Oh, nice.
And then he just talked to me for about 5-10 minutes. And so then he brought me back the next week for a guest spot on The Tomorrow People, which I don't think is on the air anymore.
No, I've heard of it.
And then a few weeks after that, he asked if I would come in and be a reader for, as they're trying to cast the Flash pilot. And I was like, yes, please.
Yeah.
Because I thought that would be such a great opportunity, not just to meet the producers and everything of the show, but to see what's happening on the other side of that room, to sort of break down the barrier of this... What magic thing happens inside that room? I had several little epiphanies. What can I share?
because you can just talk, like, you can speak generally, like,
just
about...
Just in general.
Yeah.
What I learned is sometimes they know... who they want to be right before they come in the room. And that's that's understandable because
if they have their preferences.
If they're coming off of a big credit or they have kind of the look or the following that they're looking for, which let's face it, this is a business.
Yeah.
Right. You know, NBC isn't hiring just anybody because they like them.
Yeah.
It's because they have a following that they're going to bring eyeballs. It's about, you know, we're doing it for the art. They're doing it for the money
cash,
and that's fine. And they pay us money and that's how it works.
And that's how we keep doing our art.
Right. Exactly. Right. So that was apparent.
But it sounds like David Rappaport really liked you.
Oh, he did.
Took a shine to it.
He took a little shine and I am forever grateful because I haven't really been working with some good actors and especially with, you know, they were looking to cast some TV veterans for some of the older characters.
Mm-hmm. Are you talking about The Flash still?
The Flash.
Or Tomorrow? Yeah. Oh, okay.
Flash. Yeah, so this is now, they're now casting the pilot, which will be for the series regular. So we had a lot of producer sessions for that.
Right.
It's not your standard, and we had a couple months to do it. It's not your standard TV show where they got to cast it in a week.
Right.
So we had lots of sessions. And I got to read opposite some TV veterans, you know, and like read with them. And
that's
he likes actors to be their readers.
Yeah.
So I was very careful not to, you know,
not to overact.
Be distracting and to kind of be ready when they wanted someone, but also give them, you know, I was going to be in
something.
It with it. Right. And some of the younger actors struggled with connecting.
Yeah,
I do the same thing.
Yeah, sure.
With remembering not to just read my lines off their face and to take them in.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a couple of like TV veteran guys that came in that just they blew right through their marks that we had for them. This one guy came right up to me, and they're like trying to like turn the camera to like face him, but they're not going to stop him.
Sure.
And he even went off. He went up on one of his lines.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of giving him the look like, do you want me to go ahead and come in now? Or are you looking for the line? Are you going to? And sure enough, like I saw, like he just took a second, got the line, and went right back into it. He did not let it fluster him. He did let it
do
not let it bother
him.
Do
you think that he was doing that because he was like, I have nothing to lose here and I literally give no Fs? Or if he was just like... because he's so secure in what he's doing.
I think he's so secure in what he's doing. And let's be honest, on the day, that's exactly what you would do anyway.
Sure.
If you go up in your line, you either wait for a second, grab it, or call for line, and they'll yell it to you, and you'll kind of back up a little bit. You might ask the other actor, hey, could you feed me that again? And
right.
then you start over. Everyone's still rolling. Nothing's cut, you know. No harm, no foul. They'll be able to edit this a million different ways anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I just took that as confidence. He didn't get in his head about it. Like I said, he did what he needed to do in the room to give the performance, and that was it.
What was the first big thing that you booked that sort of...
got everything going? Yeah. Halt and Catch Fire. It's halt a show fire, on yeah. AMC, yeah. Mm-hmm. That another like 17 people watch.
Because it's almost, yeah, it's almost like a momentum out here. Once you book one thing, then all of a sudden people are like, oh, Justice, who's this? Oh, Heather, who's this? And then you book something else.
A week and a half later, I book Walking Dead.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Out of not having a legitimate booking in 5 years.
Now tell me about Walking Dead, because I know there's a lot of fans that are going to be listening.
Holla. Walking Dead. So at the end of season 6, the gang arrives at Terminus, which they had been looking for as somewhat of a sanctuary, mm-hmm. you know, in this world. And they find out that it is not a sanctuary and it was basically a trap. And so at the beginning of the season premiere of season 7, you see why people were being lured to Terminus. And spoiler alert, if you haven't watched it, we're a bunch of cannibals. So we're eating folks. Huh. So I was...
But not zombies, right?
We're not... No, we're eating fresh meat.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, actual people. You never actually see us... eating
eat anyone,
oh, but we're chopping them up, and gross. It was a really
dude. Everyone was losing their GD minds on my Facebook page. They were like, "Justice is on the Walking Dead."
It's crazy.
They were like so excited.
I mean, I might have said 6 sentences in that whole thing,
but still,
but
huge
had
show.
2 interviews on CNN, and they brought me in the studio for it because the show. That episode was the most watched cable television show of all time.
Of all time.
Which is insane.
Yeah.
I think I'm unrecognizable, which is fine. Did you know that, I didn't realize this, the very first guy whose throat I slit,
yeah.
He plays the Penguin on Gotham.
Oh.
Isn't that crazy?
Interesting. Do you still keep in touch with him?
No.
As I was going to say.
I didn't even know at the time.
Oh.
Because he was filming it, because I think... Gotham premiere January
watch Gotham.
This year.
Did you watch? Are you watching Gotham?
I watched a little bit of it.
Yeah, I try to watch it. I know the Batman storyline is supposed to be dark and twisted, and like Batman as a character mm-hmm. is very dark. This show was just too much, but it was like drippy dark. It was like, oh, we're so evil. We make evil look evil. And it's like, calm down. We get it.
I had a fun tweet today. Can I tell you this?
Yeah.
Because for the first time in my life, people
are excited to talk to you.
Yes,
tweet you.
On and so when this thing came through with Supergirl or whatever, someone just tweeted, I just saw it today, said, are you serious? His name's Justice League. He couldn't be more perfect if his name was Batman Jones or something like that. Like, he deserves to be in a DC comic. I was like, oh, that's amazing.
Okay,
so
we have to talk about Supergirl then.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So what is the character you're playing on Supergirl?
I
saw the picture. It looks like a big bug.
It does look like a big bug. What can I tell you about that character? I really can't talk too much about it other than...
Well, you don't have to tell me what you do on the show.
Yeah.
But like, what is... I mean...
The Helgramite is a...
how do you say it again?
Helgramite.
Helgramite.
And what's...
this is how ridiculous I am. I went up to Chris and I go, hey, Justice has got a show called Hell... he's a character called Helgramite. Hell grammar. Hell.
And something about hell.
Yeah, and he was like, I don't know what you're talking about. You're so embarrassing. He's like, please stop. And then I showed him the picture, and he's like, oh, yeah, hell grammar.
Well, yeah, it's a lesser-known character, but he is a supervillain. He was part of the Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
We all know that the Suicide Squad movie is about to come out.
Mm-hmm.
I am not in that movie.
Fuck with, that movie.
I know. That's what I said.
For not hiring.
So that's all right. That's all right. But he was a villain of Superman, which is within the same world as Supergirl. But I think all I really can talk about is that I am an alien. You know,
yeah. It's still a bad guy.
Still a bad guy.
Yeah.
Still, you know. But as with all. Villains mm-hmm. that have played up to this point or bad guys, they're not bad for the sake of being bad, right? There's a reason.
Sure.
And so I do have a bit of a soft spot for this guy.
Yeah. All of the nerds The reason I think your Twitter is blowing up is because everybody is excited. This is a really, Supergirl is a very highly anticipated show. I think a lot of people are really looking forward to seeing it. It looks like it's going to be
well, I mean, have you well seen done. Flash or Arrow? Yeah. Those are great shows.
Yeah.
Really, really good shows.
Yeah,
so
I love those.
Greg Berlanti, who created those, as well as the new DC Legends of Tomorrow, mm-hmm. also on CW, is, you know, knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
So he's really great about, I think his three tenets that he has up in the writer's room are heart, humor, and spectacle, in that order.
Oh, that's cool.
And it's great, right? Yeah. Because if you care about them, which caring about them also includes, you know, being able to laugh at them or with them,
mm-hmm.
then the spectacle is just going to make it that much better. But if you rely on the spectacle or if you rely on the humor without loving them first, none of it matters.
Yeah.
And I think that's just genius.
Is it possible though you can still be on The Flash, do you think? Or is it sort of like they mix worlds, right?
Well, now that I am established as a face character, I don't think I could do anything else but this character yeah. on those shows. I don't know.
That's true. What I mean though is, could you possibly appear on The Flash the Helgramite character?
Flash has been on Arrow. Arrow's been on Flash.
Yeah, yeah.
The Legends of Tomorrow people started on Flash.
Did you have to go do a little research on the character before you auditioned for it to find out, like, who is this? Like, what is the mythology behind him?
I did. And was able to find out some information. Like I said, he's one of the lesser-known supervillains. And I also found out that I'm the first live-action performer to ever do this character.
Cool.
Which is kind of fun, right?
Yeah, I bet you some of the true hardcore fans are going to be just really excited to see him kind of come to life.
Man, I hope so.
Yeah.
I really do. And I did work really hard on trying to bring this guy
to life.
What can I say? Because there were lots of discussions as to I can't say any of that yet.
That's
but
okay.
Maybe
but
we
how
can,
exciting though.
Yeah,
like,
it, you know,
everyone there, just watch Justice on Supergirl.
You know, there was this moment.
See for yourself.
And there was this moment that we were shooting this action sequence,
mm-hmm.
and they had totally shut down this road
mm-hmm.
for us. Middle of the night in downtown Los Angeles. And I'm trying not to give anything away. There was this moment that...
You were in the action.
I was in the action
mm-hmm.
and, you know, the wind was blowing. I'm looking at the city, the camera swirling around me. I'm doing this crazy shit as this, you know, alien-like villain or whatever. And they're like, you know, cut. All right, let's, you know, reset or whatever. And there, I had a good like 4 minutes before we were ready to go again. And I just laid there and I looked at the skyline of the city and I was like, I'm the luckiest person in the world.
Yeah.
Like, this is totally
like
worth waiting all those tables. And
mm-hmm.
and even for this role, I auditioned 4 times
really?
Because of various notes that I was getting. It was clear that they wanted me for this, but
they just wanted to make sure you could do
their, you know,
it
it's a new show. It's
yeah.
a new show. So they were figuring out what the tone was going to be for this guy. But I'm not going to lie. Like, it was tough. I feel like I worked really hard on getting
there was
just
probably
this
a lot
one.
Of pressure, too, because they the producers wanted to do so well.
Yeah, and this is their first time going over to the, you know, big, you know, mama network
yeah,
with it.
CBS. Mm-hmm.
So it's not, it's a bigger demographic, so they have
sure.
more concerns there.
I'm curious to see how a show like this will do on CBS. Because CBS, the aka the Tiffany Network, has been...
I don't get it.
It's bread and butter.
Tiffany?
CBS? That's its nickname, is the Tiffany Network.
What does that mean?
Honestly,
like the jeweler?
Yeah, like it used to be, I'd have to look it up again to make sure, but I remember when I was reading about it, it was sort of a throwback to the classic age of television where it was the the top tier, the best of the best of all of the TV networks. It was like the Tiffany of, you know, and somehow it's
America's
earned,
most watched network.
Right, America's most watched network. But somehow it earned the name the Tiffany Network. And I don't know why I'm old and I still remember that. But
oh, it's because you're old.
It's because I'm old, 100%. Do you want some more wine?
My glass isn't empty for a reason. Yeah.
Now on to Helgramite. No.
So, very cool moment. And
I love that. What a great story.
Isn't that wild? And I want, if you're listening right now and if you're working those jobs and you're wondering, is it possible? Yeah, this sounds, it's so cliche because like at every award ceremony, you know, you can do it too. If I can do it, yeah, it's so true.
It is.
But what you have to remember is that doing the same thing, expecting a different result is what one of the definitions of insanity, sure. Right? So one of the turning points for me was the show called Powers on the PlayStation Network. The first time I ever got recurring on anything, which happened like a month or so after I did Walking Dead.
And that also films in Atlanta, right?
Insurgent, yeah.
In like Hot Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. So I...
Oh, yeah. You were on Insurgent, too. Right?
Insurgent, yeah, as well. So I had two auditions that I was preparing to tape to send back to Atlanta. One for a big recurring on... The Originals, which is a spinoff of Vampire Diaries, big, chunky, meaty dialogue, and then this one for a pilot called Powers, which is, I mean, the sides were, you know, this, you know, douchey detective who is investigating a crime scene and there's like dildos in the corner and he's like, fuck if I know. You know, it's just this kind of thing.
Fine.
I'm like, I spent zero time looking at that audition, spent all my time working on the 4-page
Vampire
really cool
Diaries.
Originals.
Oh,
yeah.
Originals.
Yeah. It's for a werewolf, actually.
Yeah.
So I spent the good money for the good lighting and the great taping service. So I spent $75 on that.
Oh, God.
And then I went over to my friend's house and gave him like $25 to put me on tape for this whatever the hell Powers was.
Oh, no.
And I couldn't even get through the audition like for the first three times. I just was like, fuck, I don't know what I'm doing. Could you just start again and I'll try something.
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing it, we're watching the tape back, and I don't know, at the end of one of the takes, this is for Powers, I like kind of roll my eyes or do something and walk off, and I was like, what am I doing?
Yeah,
I was like, what is that? And my buddy's like, I don't know, it's interesting. I was almost not gonna send it because
really?
I was like, I thought it was crazy. But here's what I learned is I thought it was crazy because I wasn't doing what I planned to do and it was organic and it was weird to me. And I was like, this doesn't work. But because it was a surprise to me, it's a surprise to people watching it. And so it's interesting, right?
Right.
As opposed to the canned cheese that I had just done for the Originals audition and figured out every single beat because I really wanted that part, right?
Yeah.
So I find out that I get a callback for Powers, but I have to fly my ass to Atlanta to do it. So it's going to cost $600 to fly back. Oh my God, that's so much money.
Yeah.
But my manager was like, hey, the director, David Slade, he just came off of doing Hannibal. He's very acclaimed. He's going to do the first two episodes. If you can just be in the room with him, he's going to have a couple more shows next year. I'll be able, even if it doesn't work out with Powers, I'll be able to have a talking point. Exactly.
Yeah.
So I did something that I've never done before, which is once I found out I had the callback, I didn't look at the material until the day of the callback, which is really hard to do, especially when it's 4 days later and you spent $600 to fly there. But again, definition of insanity, right? I was like, everything that I had been doing for the previous 6 years, I'm like, that didn't work. I'm trying something else.
Right.
And so in this case, I'm going to walk in the door and we'll see.
Oh, wow.
And I did it. And
you booked it.
And I booked it.
And now you're a regular on the show? Or
no, I'm still a recurring guest.
But still, that's fantastic.
It's great.
Who's watching the Sony PlayStation shows, by the way?
Great question.
Who's watching? If anybody out there is watching it, tweet me because I'm curious to know.
You know what? It's so it's exclusive.
Obviously, somebody is, or they wouldn't be putting the money into having another
season
of the show.
Here's the thing: it's a the source material that Brian Michael Bendis and Michael Ove Avon Oeming, created. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. So good. Really interesting characters. Really dark, kind of cynical look at this genre of powers and people with superhuman abilities that, I mean, the market is saturated with, right?
Is it kind of like Heroes? Like a take on Heroes?
It's hard for me to say because I didn't watch Heroes, but from the conversations I've had with people, they say it's similar it's not an exclusive group of people that have superpowers. People have ranging abilities of superpowers. Most have none at all.
All over the earth.
All over the earth. Some people can, you know, hover 6 inches above the ground and it's a cool party trick, or they can soar through the air, right?
Okay.
It's just all those kinds of things.
Do you have powers on the show?
I do not.
Okay.
So
you're one of the ones without.
I'm part of, so it focuses on this guy, Christian Walker, who is a detective in the powers division of the police department here in Los Angeles. And he used to have superpowers, but lost it during this fight with this notorious villain called Wolf. Okay. And he was one of the only people in the world who's ever lost his powers, right? So he's decided to still fight crime and do good by, even as a normal human now, using it to, as a detective within the powers division. So the powers division here in Los Angeles is kind of a disrespected division, because what can humans really do against people with superpowers anyway?
Sure,
it's kind
of
a joke. But we do have this cell like a mile underground in concrete that we put the really bad ones and they can't really go anywhere.
Okay.
So there is some things that we can do to sort of modulate their behavior.
Yeah, yeah.
So we investigate crimes amongst people with superpowers. Mm-hmm. And unlike other comics, our powers age and they grow old and they die. And so they're not completely invulnerable. You can have some sort of invulnerability, mm-hmm. but you still are an aging person, right?
Sure.
And so power is actually looked at more like celebrity. It's almost a commentary on the celebrity culture. Like, what are you going to do with your superpower? The cooler power that you have, you're probably going to have an endorsement from Nike.
I'm
saying?
How interesting.
And you're gonna be at club openings, and you're going to have an agent.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a really interesting look at this whole genre.
Do you think, though, that because that almost has a sci-fi bent to it, I think it definitely is a sci-fi bent to it, if people have some kind of powers, and then you're going to be on Supergirl, you are sort of now being and The Walking Dead,
it's based
Dead
on a graphic
like,
novel
yeah so you're sort of getting into the world of comic books, sci-fi. It's a whole genre where people are passionate. Very passionate fans. They know what they like, what they don't like. They have opinions on it. They're very well-read fans.
Yeah.
How does that feel? Do you feel like you have to, you know, brush up on all that stuff to, like, you know, keep track of it? Do you feel like that's something you want to continue to do more of in terms of, like, sci-fi stuff? Or are you just still open to whatever?
Yes. is the answer to all those questions. Let me back up and just say, because you had asked, you know, who's watching Powers, and the people who are watching it are those kinds of fans, mm-hmm. who love, in this case, probably love gaming, but also love the idea of being greater than who you are, mm-hmm. or the underdog achieving.
Sure.
You know,
did you go to Comic-Con with
I went to WonderCon.
WonderCon, yeah.
Which is put on by the same people as Comic-Con, a little smaller.
Yeah.
And was able to do the panel thanks to Brian and to Michael. They brought me up on stage. And it was fantastic.
That's awesome.
So cool, right? Mm-hmm. So the fans of our show, the fans of just the platform of PlayStation are very vocal, mm-hmm. you know, thanks to Twitter and Instagram and mm-hmm. and everything else and message boards. Everybody has an opinion that, you know, needs to or should be heard, mm-hmm. right? And thankfully, going into the second season, with Brian Michael Bendis now taking over our show, along with Remy, they are going back and really staying true to the original text. And I think fans are going to be just through the moon with the second season, what they're doing with it. And it's really exciting, all of that. And I can't wait for fans to see the second season, having basically just been given a taste, because with what we did in the first season, it really started to ramp up towards the end, and the people who saw it probably noticed that, and that momentum is just going to get bigger and bigger in the second season. So to answer your question as far as how it feels to be a part of that sort
like
of
the sci-fi community, yeah. It's such a beloved community.
I'm not going to say that it's not intimidating, yeah. Because especially as someone like myself, who I already admitted is not well read within the mm-hmm. world of comics and everything else, and it's not for want of doing it. Now it's like, gosh, that's what I should have been doing instead of like watching sure. football. I grew up in Alabama, so we watched a lot of football instead.
I think though that maybe it's good that you're not such a big fan, because you would already have a take and a preconceived idea of what those characters should be like, or how what the fans are going to want to see. You know what I mean? Like, so maybe it's better that you're not.
I hope so, because either way, I'm doing it.
Either way, fuck you.
Either way. But let me tell you something. It's the couple of shows that I did before this past year, which was, like you said, very comic heavy, was Cold Case and this show called Women's Murder Club, and another one called, I forget. But we don't have rabid fans for those shows.
No.
You know, we don't have people that...
Weirdly, I think Cold Case so does. But yeah, the other sort of, shows.
Well, the other one that I left out was this one called Moonlight, which was about vampires.
Oh, I remember Moonlight, yeah.
And I actually had a fan from that one episode that I did write fan fiction about my character beyond what the show was about.
So weird.
So...
You just never know who's a fan of what and what you're doing.
It's so cool. Yeah. It's a little disconcerting at first, yeah. Because I was like, you're like, why do you care? Like, I'm doing Vampire Diaries, right? Yeah. And so these people are talking about how much...
Yeah, that's another thing. You're doing Vampire Diaries. That's so fantastic.
Yeah. So it's like people, they, you know... They already love you.
Oh,
and
the
they
Vampire
already...
Diaries fans are hardcore. Yeah. Our friend Jen Blushy is a hardcore. I think she runs a Vampire Diaries like...
Does she run that?
Twitter fan page or something. Yeah. She'll kill me for not knowing the exact phrasing of it. But anyway, she's met like best friends on Twitter through the Vampire Diaries fan club.
How about that?
She's a big fan.
It's super cool. It, like I said, it's a little disconcerting at first, because for someone who no one cared, not only could I not get a job, the jobs that I did have, only my family and Lee Middle School, where my mom teaches school and tells everyone what I do, cared about, right? So now for people to care about what I do before it even comes out is really cool. So...
Now, I want to talk about your mom for a second, to sidetrack, because you, you're always posting such lovely things about your mom and your family, and that is one of my favorite things about you, honestly, is because you, I don't want to say you're a mama's boy, because that's not...
It's true, though.
It's true, but it's so sweet, and as a mom... I bet your mom is just beaming.
You know what? I am so incredibly blessed, because not everybody has the support of their family to do whatever they want to do.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I hear a lot of stories, especially within the arts community, about family saying, so how much longer are you going to give this thing? Or, you know, when are you going to do a real job? Yeah. So... unlike those people, I have a family who believes that it's going to happen, and believed that whole time during all those years where no phone calls were ringing and I was auditioning for Redneck in the, right? You
in
know,
the one-line Redneck,
In the one-line Redneck role. So it's my mom has been a huge supporter, and
so nice.
Do me share something with you?
Yes, of course.
Okay, so you may or may not know this. My dad passed away about 5-6 years ago, coming up on 6 years ago. And so his last, the last time that I went home, which was in about October of 2009, he was in the hospital. We knew it wasn't going to be long. He had cancer. And, I had red eye all the way from LA back to, you know, back to Georgia at the time. And I arrive at the hospital. My mom is asleep on the couch. It's like 6 o'clock in the morning. And my dad's in the, you know, in the hospital bed or whatever. And I get there and I'm, you know, I'm exhausted. I'm a wreck, you know. And he was like, "Hey." I was like, "Oh, you're awake." And he was like, "Is that Hollywood?" And I was like, "Aww. Hey, Dad." And he was like, "Hey, hang on 1 second." And he reaches on the side of his bed and he hits the like alarm button and he goes, "Darn, darn." And my mom like wakes up. She's like, "What's going on? What's going on?" The nurses rush in and he was like, "Here he is. Go ahead, grab his autograph before he heads back, you know," or whatever. Aww. My dad had just done it because he had been telling the nurses all about, you know, his famous son.
Oh, and he wanted them to come and see you and meet you. Oh, my God. That's so sweet.
And I felt like the biggest fraud in the world because, I mean, I had had a co-star.
You felt like you were
Dropped
Dead
Diva. You know what I'm saying? Like, I had done so little. This was right in that lull where, like, nothing was happening. Mm-hmm. And, hey, Dad, I don't know if you know this, but there's more important things going on than my lack of a career at this moment.
Right. But not to him. Like, not to parents. Like, I can tell you right now, when my daughter comes up to me and tells me she pee-peed in the potty, it is the best day of my life. Like, your kids, when they do something, even what might seem like a small accomplishment to you, it's big deal to mom and dad. Big deal.
Yeah.
So I can see that.
Now I look back on that moment and realize, oh, that's such a gift because I can't even.
Oh.
Because.
You're getting a little misty.
Yeah, I'm getting a little misty because, you know, I know he would be through that moment I was telling you about. He would have gotten the biggest kick out of it. He was a police officer. And, you know, this show called Powers, I'm so thankful for because
he would have loved
I was
it.
A detective. Are you kidding? He was a detective at one time. And here I am, you know, here's this shy little kid who was afraid of guns and everything else playing all these kind of crazy things. He would have gotten the biggest kick out of it. But in a very interesting way, I was just telling someone about this the other day. Because he was never healthy enough to come visit me when I lived in Los Angeles. So I had no markers of him driving around. Right. So my grieving process took a lot longer because I was not reminded of him everywhere that I went. Unlike
it just
my family.
Hit you all of a sudden.
It just hit me all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. But instead, when I would walk onto the lot of Warner Brothers, instead of it being a phone call to my family trying to explain this to him, I felt like, this sounds so hokey, but like he was there watching and he was with me.
Of course he was. Yeah,
do you know what I'm saying?
He was. That doesn't sound hokey.
He got like a first row seat to see all this stuff that is only going to be a story to, you know, my mom and my sister and all that.
I think that's a really lovely sentiment. I bet your dad is watching you.
Oh my gosh.
I'm so proud.
It's so great.
I am in, like I said in the beginning, constant awe of you, not just your... Not just your chiseled jawline.
Oh, wow. Guys, if you could just see this at home.
I know,
it's so
right?
chiseled.
Listen, I'm drunk and I'm basically just like, bring it on, Justice. We're alone in a room together.
Put your pants on. Come on,
I'm
Heather.
A little drunk. You've got your socks off. Make yourself at home.
I got warm.
Jeez, I know.
Maybe
it's
the
hot
wine.
In here. No. It's this room. This room, for some reason, turns into like 1,000 degrees whenever I decide to do a podcast.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on the show.
No problem.
I was thrilled that you were in town because I honestly was like, you're here? Come over to my house.
Yeah.
Instead of like in Hotlanta working on every show on
the planet. It's such a treat for me. I'm sorry if I ramble too much.
You did not ramble. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to be editing the shit out of this.
Whoa.
You did not ramble at all. I think all of the people on Twitter who are excited about your Supergirl appearance and then the Vampire Diaries fans are going to just... I think it's a momentum that's going to continue to build for you. And I'm so excited to see where it leads. I think it's going to be a really... great year. If it isn't, sorry. You can come back on and blame me and be like, you put that on me.
Yeah.
You put that bad juju on me.
Yeah.
So where can people find you if they want to follow you on the Twitter?
Yeah, I think it's just my name, Justice Leak, on Twitter.
Leak, nerds, not Justice League.
Yeah.
Justice Leak. L-E-A-K.
L-E-A-K.
Yep. And your sister's name is Liberty.
True story.
Oh, God, that is the cutest. Your parents are so cute.
I know. It's
Justice
my dad.
And Liberty.
Name is, So at an Instagram, I think it's justice.leak because someone had Justice Leak, I guess.
Who?
I don't know.
Some weirdo. Do you have a younger brother named For All?
Oh, wow. Ooh,
do you ever get asked that? Oh, God, I'm sorry.
Ever since the first
grade. Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, God. I went there, though. I had to.
Yeah. No, I get it. It's totally fine.
you're like, and I'm done with you. So yeah, everybody go and find Justice on the Twitter. Please. And on Instagram.
Yeah.
And do you have a Facebook fan page?
I'm working on that. Are
right
you?
Now. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
I'll start
you.
One right now. We're all fans of Justice.
Yeah.
If you get more followers than me, though, I'm going to be really pissed.
Oh my God, it's not going
to
happen.
If you're listening right now, do go to Facebook and find Motherhood in Hollywood, and also on Twitter at MIH Podcast and Motherhood in Hollywood on Instagram. And yeah. That's about it. Justice, any parting words? Where do you want to go from here? You've done it all. What's next? Who do you want to work with? Like, who's next on your list?
Wow. That's a really dream job, Star Wars. I mean, it's so cliche. It's so cliche. But when they
did, not cliche. That's amazing.
When they did the episodes, you know, 1, 2, and 3 was right when I was starting acting. And I was like, I'll be a stormtrooper. You won't even have to see my face. I just want to be in it. So, and those were a big disappointment, as we all know. But now that JJ's doing it, I think it's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
Disney, now that they own it, they're going to be making them forever. So I got a real, fighting chance.
You do have a fighting chance. You need to get in there, find out who's casting all those, and just start sending roses.
There are, you know.
Things in the works.
As I've started to work with that genre of people, there's a lot of overlap. So. I'm just kind of putting it out there, but that's my dream.
Oh my God, I'm tingling all over. That would be amazing. Will you come back on the show sometime and tell me about all the amazing things you're doing?
Sure, all of them. Yeah, thank you.
And one last thing, don't forget to go on iTunes and give Motherhood in Hollywood a quick review, and you'll be automatically entered to win our giveaway on September 15th. I'm giving away an Honest Company Bath Time Bundle. That's right. I'm going to choose one of the names the people who've given us a review. It can be good or bad, whatever you feel like saying about the show, and you'll be automatically entered to win my random drawing for an Honest Company Bath Time Bundle. So be sure and check that out. And I hope you guys have an amazing week. I think it's going to be a good one. I feel it in my bones. And we'll see you back here next week. Bye, guys.
Mama funny.
Balls.